On tonight's show, we're talking the XFL because X gonna give it to you, Thomas.
That's right. And we got some Sunbelt players going up to Ohio. We're gonna see what they can give to the scouts while they show out into the combine.
And we're gonna take you around the belt and give you a Been On Sports player of the week that he deserves this, rightly so. On the show tonight, we've got...
Every night was a battle.
You can lock this in, take it to the bank.
No class at all. It's unbelievable.
They should see a relatively quick turnaround.
Show me the money.
Big water splash, snow cone truck and everything.
One team stands alone.
Well, you know what I think about Troy.
I'm losing my mind over here.
We've got the moment you've all been waiting for.
Of course.
Are you sure it's... Ohio, but are you sure? These
no.
kids, let me tell you something. They are skipping the entire careers of the NFL. They're going straight to the Hall of Fame.
That's right.
That's basically what's going to happen.
That's right.
That's how deep this draft class is going
to
be.
The Sun Belt is that good, guys.
That good. They're going straight to the Hall
they
of Fame.
They are going right to Canton.
Yeah.
Anyways, I just said that the Combine was in Ohio.
Mm.
Good job, Thomas.
We're going to correct that, and we're just going to say it's in Indianapolis.
It is in there Indianapolis, and it always, just about always has been.
You know, it's fine. It's fine. Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting episode of the Bench Boys podcast. I'm Colin.
I'm Thomas.
And we are the Bench Boys. Thank you for joining us. While you're here, hit that subscribe button. Hit the follow button if you haven't followed us on all of our social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram we haven't gotten to yet, YouTube we haven't gotten to yet, but we're working on that. But other than that, hit the subscribe button. You like our takes. You like our follows. Just keep on listening. Thank you to all the people who have been listening. We've had a great season so far. It's the off season right now. But it's not the off season when it comes to basketball because we've got a full load of basketball.
Yeah, I think you're getting way ahead of yourself. That's
we
true.
Do. We do.
But you know what?
I guess I did say it was the off season, didn't I?
You did.
But it's not.
It's not.
It's not.
And
we still have...
Part of the thing is I just have pro football on the mind.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, I'm so glad, though, because I love football. It hasn't stopped yet.
It still hasn't stopped.
It's still going. We had week one
yes.
of the XFL this past week.
Yes.
And I think it's worth at least just touching on because we had two previous whole episodes about something.
Did. They had a great week. I think they had like 3.3 million viewers across the country.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
I think most of their stadiums average like 18,000 to 22,000 people.
Sounds about right.
Pretty solid.
Yeah.
And like St. Louis, I'm already reading up about St. Louis. They're expecting over 27,000 people to fill where the St. Louis Rams once played in the Dome.
Battlehawks, yeah.
And they got a big win. They played a Landry Jones less, I guess. He didn't play. They played the Dallas Renegades, who is coached by Bob Stoops, who has Landry Jones, and there was a lot of stuff. It was really interesting. It was really fun to watch. I think a lot of people liked the freshness, but that was the same reaction I felt like with the AAF last year.
It was.
Is everybody's like, oh, this is like fresh. This is a new thing. It's different. And that's kind of how the same thing is here. You just hope it doesn't have the same decline.
And we'll talk about this later. We'll talk about this now. We have talked about this, but it's about the backing.
It really is.
I can't remember who tweeted it out, but over the weekend they were saying, I saw a tweet where the XFL literally made all its ticket sales back before day one or some kind of sales.
I wouldn't doubt it.
They made more in that weekend than the AAF ever did.
I think market selection of where these teams are is a lot better. Granted, they are more spread out, but they are in massive markets.
Absolutely.
I mean, big. I think Tampa Bay might be the smallest market out of all of them. And Tampa Bay itself, that's a top 20 market.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Washington, D.C., St. Louis,
Seattle,
Dallas, Houston, Seattle, Los Angeles, D.C., and New York. I mean, that's the market.
They pickedon purpose.
Those are, granted, yes, there's going to be some travel expenses, but they are banking on people coming to these games. And I mean, and a lot of them, I think three or maybe four of the teams, the fields that they play on were actually soccer fields.
Like they were,
designed for the MLS teams there. And you watched on TV, they were full. They were packed. I mean, so actually, Houston played in the same stadium as what their baseball team plays in. They just converted into a football field.
Yep.
But no, let's just quick overview. I think everybody loves the, I guess, openness of this league. The fact that you see what the refs are saying, you see what the coaches are saying, like you see what the review officials are saying.
And that is something that was very clearly taken from the Alliance.
Yes.
Something that we've lauded.
I think they've even done more. The AAF guys weren't getting interviewed the play after
That's
they
true.
Fumbled the football.
Yeah.
Like, can you imagine being that guy, like, fumbling the ball? Hey, man, like, having Pat McAfee come up to you and be like, hey, why'd you fumble that ball? Like, and you're like, like, I don't know. But no, like, I really like it. I think a lot of people really like the kickoffs. I thought the kickoffs were so fun to watch because it's so different. Mm-hmm. And you and me talked about that last week. And just seeing that work. No one went for 3 points in the extra points over the weekend.
Why would you?
I was looking at it like teams were like 5 of 11. On 1 point conversions, and they were like 3 of 9 on 2 point conversions, and literally nobody even attempted a 3 point conversion.
I mean, but why would you?
Well, it's very interesting. I mean, there's so much thought process that goes into now a point after, because mm-hmm. I mean, I won't even begin to try to put scenarios, but just the fact that say you're down 9 points. I mean, you could be down nine points and you're still in the ball game, like. There's people in traditional football, that's a 2-score game. You got to get the ball twice. Heck no, in this game? Like, I mean, it's wild. And it is great for the game. You saw big hits. You saw really good plays. We saw the first touchdown was thrown by a Sun Belt player, a Troy Trojan, Brandon Silvers. He threw the first ever touchdown pass in league history.
We'll always hang that.
Which is pretty awesome. Always will hang that on the group of five. Huge shout out to the G5. They had a great week. PJ Walker, the quarterback for the Houston Renegades, had a great week. He's a Temple guy.
Okay.
But just a great week. Really good week.
I agree.
The G5 there.
And if you're interested, last week we did a whole thing about the new rules that they have, the 3-point conversion, the new kickoff. So if you want to turn around and go listen to that after this episode's done, by all means, go and do it. I can't remember what point in the show it was, but it was. We talked about
it's
that.
Cool
among,
it's a great show,
right?
Good episode. So, but yeah, that was the XFL. I think it was a great start to them. I think it comes down to what you said, backing. I think their backing is so much, and the deal. I mean, they've got TV deals. They were on ABC, ESPN, mm-hmm. and Fox. AAF only had CBS Sports. Like,
yeah.
This is major prime time. I mean, they had a CBS game, but. They had all the games were nationally televised this weekend, and everyone saw them.
I literally was watching one game in friggin' walk-ons with my parents in the background.
Yeah, we were at B-Dubs when we were watching Silvers play.
Thank you.
So,
yeah.
I mean, it's wild. So, I think a great start for them. We're going to be definitely following that league all throughout the year to see it. We don't have, like, a regional team like we did with Birmingham,
right.
At least. I think they're closest.
I haven't figured out a team yet.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, we haven't figured that one out yet. So, but that was a great start to their season. And the only thing the only hiccup that I saw was that there was actually two. One, they wished that they would have brought, I don't know if you've seen the videos, but in the old days, they didn't do a coin flip. They did a scramble for the football. And it was two guys that lined up on the 25-yard line, and they put a football at the midfield, and it was the first one to get to the football, you got the ball first. Which... You go watch the videos. It is great. I mean, great. I spent 25 minutes watching 30-second clips. So imagine
from the 80s and 90s.
Back from season. It was in the 90s.
Sorry.
And then the other thing that they had was they didn't have their names.
Right.
They had nicknames.
The He Hate Me.
The He Hate Me jersey, which is the most one of the most iconic jerseys out of this league. A lot of people were kind of like they weren't like mad, but they were like, man, it would have been kind of like really like cool to see like guys get their like nicknames, because that's what it is. It's their nicknames. So that was the only other thing. But no, great weekend for the XFL. It's gonna be fun. We get to continue watching football. Normally this is like where I kind of like go hide in my room and I don't do any, you know, I don't watch any football.
I mean, I do that anyway.
I start focusing on March Madness basically.
Yeah.
But now I still have football to do. So. But no, it was a great, great, great weekend.
I will say, there was, or no, you know what? Shit.
How do you want to do this?
That's what I'm thinking. Like, we can go a couple different ways now.
You can go whatever.
Choose your own adventure.
Choose it. A, B, or C. Which one do you choose, Thomas?
Let's do B.
Okay. Take it.
Out of the gate.
Well, Thomas, you chose right. It was option B. And option B brought us out the gate. And without the gate, we're talking the NFL Combine. A lot of invites went out. Like 300 of them, I believe. I think they invite like 365 or something like that, or 67. The Sun Belt got 7 total invites. I think the SEC led again this year with like 90-something. Big Ten was up there.
Duh,
who cares?
Yeah.
But I want to say the Boise State's conference. What are they again?
Mountain West?
The Mountain West. I think Mountain West had 20. I think they had the most out of – or no, the AAC had the most. And then it was the Mountain West, and then it was the Sun Belt, if I remember right. The 4 teams represented, App State, Ark State, Georgia Southern, and Louisiana, or Raging Cajuns. We saw 3 of these guys a couple weeks ago in Mobile.
Yeah.
Akeem
Davis Gaither.
Yeah, one guy we've talked about all year long.
Yep.
And then there are 2 guys from Louisiana. We've had one on the show, and the other guy is stupid fast. I mean, like, stupid fast. So... we can jump into this. I'll take App State.
Yeah, let's go ahead.
You kind of gave his name away. Akeem Davis Gaither, he was down here for the Senior Bowl, had an incredible week for the Senior Bowl. I mean, just dominated the practice, dominated the drills.
Conference Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah, I mean, his season stats speak for alone, but he's really done a really good job on his postseason. You know, all the extra stuff he put in. Had a great bowl game. And just everybody raved about this kid. He has massive hands, from what I've read about him. Huge hands. And then he's joined by a fellow teammate, Darrington Evans, who is he came out early. He was supposed to come back next year, but he
wasn't he offensive player of the year? Like,
I don't know if he's offensive player of the year,
but he
something else.
He's preseason offensive player of the year.
We described him before. I believe he's a poor man's Travis Etienne. That's what I believe he is.
That's fair.
His strides are incredible. He covers so much ground, and he makes it really look. When he gets going, it's really fun to watch him like run. Like he's just a really fun guy to watch run, and I mean he's a track star. I mean he's that good. So
I don't know how many times he was our player of the week.
Yeah, I think,
but
at least 3 times.
I can tell you the record holder for that is on this list as well.
He is,
and our player of the year. On this list, Omar Bayless. I am so excited to see him show out at the Combine.
Yeah, great invite for Omar. Huge, huge kind of like recognition for him. Like
there's no reason that this guy shouldn't be.
No, he's a 4th round guy. Like at worst, I think.
At worst,
I think 4th round at worst. I think he's in between 2 and 4. Like 2's really, really good. If he drops below 4, I think that's a really somebody's going to get a steal.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
2 other guys that were down here in Mobile. Tyler Bass, who went 2 for 2 in the Senior Bowl, had a great week as well as a kicker. I know people have heard stories of Pat McAfee and his talk of his days at the Senior Bowl because he literally participated in the Senior Bowl as well.
If you haven't heard the story, go find it on YouTube.
Yeah,
it's great.
Kickers don't do much that week, but it's those little moments that you do have opportunities, and Tyler Bass hit every single thing that he needed to. And then in the game, he was 2 for 2 as well. He beat Rodrigo Blankenship as well, Georgia kicker. And then Kendall Vildor had an interception in the Senior Bowl. I mean, and they even highlighted him. Jim Nagy talked about him all week. He was a great performer.
Him and Wonquavian Brinson were 2 of the best corners in the entire conference last year. They just were fantastic.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think we read about him all year long. He was one of the top corners in the league all year long. I mean, even our preseason rankings, you know, even our buddy Scott Watkins had him as the number one corner. So,
you know, yeah, I remember that now.
Yeah. And so 2 guys from Georgia Southern, and then we moved down to Louisiana as well. And Raymond Calais, this is kind of a shocker. Like, because he was part of that backfield. That
yeah.
3 running backs. And you knew one of them. I thought it would have been Elijah Mitchell. I don't think Mitchell came out. I think Mitchell's next year.
No, he's still there.
Yeah.
So, to me, this is looking like, and this is just a personnel situation, but it's reminded me a little bit of the Brandon Jacobs situation at Auburn, except Brandon Jacobs actually left Auburn. But it was Brandon Jacobs behind Ronnie Brown and Cadillac Williams.
Yeah.
He saw the writing on the wall and skipped out. Yeah. Raymond Calais was still on this team. He was part of the three-headed monster we talked about. Mm-hmm. And this man can hold up his own as a running back.
Yeah.
And part of that reason is the other guy on this list is Robert Hunt, the offensive lineman, friend of the show.
Yes.
And just how, like, talking about him.
He was running, but I mean, now Robert Hunt got banged up
in
the year. And so he was supposed to be at the Senior Bowl. And his group, I talked to Jim Nagy about him, actually. And they actually contacted Jim about a week before, or 2 weeks before, basically. And said, hey, he's not going to participate. We want him ready for the combine because they knew he was going to get an invite. I mean, he was already a guy that Nagy talked about. Like, we didn't really have to go see him play. We saw his tape and we loved him.
Yeah.
And so he's going to be a guy, depending on how – this is a big moment for him because of just how injured he's been for the back half of the season. And so this will be a big moment, basically, for him. This is a huge test for him to show out in front of the scouts. So.
And now we talked about him. He's not – he's a friend of the show, but he's never been on the show.
No, we did.
We talked to him at Media Days 2 years ago, and that video is still on Facebook. I loved talking to him. That was great.
Oh, he's a great guy. His family was pretty sweet. They commented a lot on the post, and they were having a fun time with the Facebook Live that we did with him as well. And he was just a cool guy. I mean, I think Tyler Bass was at Media Day this past year, and I didn't get a chance to talk to him. I think Akeem Davis Gaither was there for App State. All good guys. I think all of them have a good chance of getting drafted. I think Raymond Calais is kind of the outside looking in just because he was kind of a shock. But I think six of the seven guys, even Tyler Bass, I mean, that's, you know, you're taking a kicker sixth, seventh round, just how well he's kicked. I really think he's got a shot. I for sure free agent deal if he doesn't get drafted.
So what I can tell you we are going to do is we're going to definitely have some sort of preview for the draft based on these guys and based on like
the
other
guys.
We're
going to try to get some guests into.
For sure.
Specifically these seven, we're going to work pretty hard to see if we can pull them onto the show as well.
But we're also going to look at it after the fact because we have historic numbers and we have all these other metrics to look at when it comes to these players being drafted. But We're gonna keep up with these guys for sure. We'll watch them at the combine. You should watch them at the combine if you have the opportunity, and we'll report back to you with what we watch and how they perform, just based on what we know as Sun Belt watchers.
Yeah, we've got I think a couple months. The draft's like what, in like June or something?
April, May.
I thought it was in like the summer now. Either way, we've got some time before that. The combine's coming up here in a couple of weeks. But also going on right now and is some other sports in the Sun Belt, and we're going to take y'all around the belt.
Around the belt.
That's right, we're taking you around the belt, and as usual, because yes, we've said this before, we are gentlemen, ladies first. So yeah, we're going to get into women's basketball, and it's okay. Conference-wise, there's still a little bit up for grabs. We have Troy, obviously, top of the conference, 10-1, 19-3 overall. Then you have Coastal Carolina 9-2, Little Rock 8-3, UTA 7-4, and South Alabama 7-4. Here's the thing, my opinion, hot take. This is a two team race. You might have 8-3 and 2-7-4 teams. Sorry, it's Troy and Coastal Carolina.
No, I think you're right.
They are like both of them are 19-3 right now. Everyone else in the conference. The next best record in the conference is 13-9, and that's Louisiana, who's 6-5, who Troy just beat
over the
weekend.
That's the next best record?
Overall.
Overall. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Overall.
Yeah. And then you go 13-10, 12-11, 10-2.
Yeah.
10-12. Excuse me.
13-9 is too close to half to 500 for that to even be like.
And Louisiana's on a three-game losing streak.
So,
well.
There you go.
These two teams, Troy and Coastal Carolina, 10-1, 9-2, they're just there. Troy. They're on a seven-game winning streak. They have just dismantled teams. Now, this was a tough game that they played against Louisiana on the road. Louisiana was the only team to beat them in conference so far. They avenged that loss.
They
lost by 3 points at Troy. They beat Louisiana by 3 points at Louisiana.
You got to make everything equal.
Literally equal between those two teams. A Coastal, on the other hand, they're coming in on a four-game winning streak. They took UTA. UTA, we talked about, you know, UTA was that team that they were really tested in the non-conference early in the year, and they're still a good team. They play really good defense. Coastal handed them 80-62. Both Troy and Coastal have handled UTA. And in my opinion, that was the third best team in the conference, in my opinion. Now, Little Rock is sitting there at 8-3, but they're 10-12. They aren't even 500 overall, and they don't have that good a schedule. That's what
I was about to say.
Highlighted last week of the question mark was, yeah, they're 8-3, but they're overall, they don't even have a 500 record overall. So, but no, these two teams, 19-3, guess what? They're meeting up tonight.
Tonight.
Thursday, which is my birthday, so February 13th. Troy, give me a win for my birthday. That would be great.
We went this far into the episode without mentioning it. So
yeah, I did pretty good.
You did.
19-3, both teams. The first meeting was the first conference game of the season for them. Troy was up by 18 in that game, ended up winning by 7 points. Really jumped on them in the second quarter, 24-9.
I was about to say, it looks right here. You can see Carolina close the gap.
We're looking at basically a game by like game summary, basically. But that second quarter took basically an 18-point lead into half. I mean, it was just they just blew the doors off on them. So they meet again this time in Coastal Carolina. Probably going to be a huge game on ESPN+. This is huge because if Troy wins this game, they're automatically two games up. We're getting into that area where it's almost kind of counting down, okay, how many games we got to win? Like kind of like what the Atlanta Braves did there for a little bit.
Yeah. And then they won the NL East, so.
Yeah, they did win the NL East. But no, Troy just, they look really good. They just dismantled a South team the last time we talked about them. Played UL Monroe at home and then obviously went on the road to Louisiana Raging Cajuns. On the other hand, Coastal Carolina, they've done exactly they lost in January to Arkansas State. That was the last time they lost was January 25th. 2-point loss. Since then, they've just taken care of business. 87-45, 69-59, 66-59, and 80-62 over UTA. I really, really like this win over UTA. The fact that they won by 18 points on the road against UTA. And they were down after the first quarter, and then they just dominated the rest of the game. I mean,
compare that to the Troy game graph there. In the Troy game graph, you can see where like the two cables sort of come together.
Yeah.
In this one, it's very clear that at the end, they very much start to disintegrate.
Yeah, they pulled away. In those middle two quarters, the second and third quarter, 20-11 advantage in the second quarter, and 25-15 advantage in the third quarter. So right there, that's 19-point differential in those two quarters. That's your ball game right there. Mm-hmm. And they just ran them out. And just to do that to a UTA team that doesn't like to allow people to score over 60 points. And
we talked about their defense before.
They put up 80 on them. I mean, I like these two teams. This is going to be a really fun game to watch between Coastal and Troy tonight. It's going to be very telling of basically, I think whoever wins this game has, I mean, granted, Coastal will be tied with Troy, and the tiebreaker will also be a tie as well. They'll both be 10-2 if Coastal wins this game. But if Troy gets this win, man, I mean, there's really
nothing in their way.
Increasing,
and it's kind of similar. And just to go ahead and transition into the men's side there. You talk about it being a two-horse race in the women's side. In the men's side, it's really not the case. There's a lot more parity because you get, as soon as you hit that number two spot, all the way down, every team is separated by one game from 2-11,
mm-hmm.
just about. And that's a game that's literally a split of four games between 2-11.
Mm-hmm.
But Little Rock's at the top there with a 12-2 record, 18-7 overall. 12-2. We talked about it last week. They're
impressive, man.
Where this team even came from, I don't know. But they're on a 7-game win streak. They're rolling. And another game tonight. Thursday night, if you're not interested in the women's basketball, you should be. I don't know why you're not. But if you're interested in the men's basketball, Little Rock is taking on Texas State. That is important because right now Texas State is in fourth place in the conference. That is literally the highest-ranked team that Little Rock plays until the end of the season against Georgia State at number two. Oh. So they're coming up this game right here on March 3rd. They're circling it on the calendar. Little Rock is coming into that game screaming. I guarantee you, if they pull off the win at Texas State, which they absolutely should, I don't see any reason that Little Rock couldn't be on a 8, 9, 10, 11, 12-game win streak.
Yeah, I mean, Texas State this week is, I'm looking at Texas State, Arkansas State, both 15 and 10, and then every other team losing record. That's
yep.
it. So, yep. And Little Rock, I was just looking at the scores. They've scored 90 points four times in conference play. They've had three straight games where they've scored 90 points in this little three-game winning streak that they've got going on here, or however many game winning streak they've got going on here. But the last three games, they scored 96, 93, and 90 in the last three games. So
now, I will say, against Arkansas State, that's a three-point game there.
Yeah, they were giving up points.
It was really close.
They're giving up, 86 and 87 points in these three
games.
But
let's also point out that that's technically a rivalry game.
Yeah, it's just impressive. I mean, I know we talked about this last week. They were our surprise team of the year so far because they were picked to be 11th in the conference and is their first, and they have a three-game lead, mind you, on the conference right now. Just impressive, impressive. This is what strikes me that's telling of a really good team. They've played 13 games at home and are 11-2. They've played 12 games on the road and are 7-5. You have a winning record on the road and you've played 12 road games. That is telling of a team that you can go on the road and win. Like, I mean, that's tough. Like, to be able to travel and win.
They're a little bit above 500 there, but
they're
still.
They're the only team in the entire conference that has a winning road record.
There you go.
Everyone else is below 500.
I think that's enough right there to circle it, because if you go back to it.
Oh, excuse me. With the exception of Coastal Carolina, they're 5-3, but they've only played 8.
Let's go back to it, though, because this team has 6 games left. 4 of those 6 games are, guess what, on the road.
There you go. So
including
road dogs.
Including that big old matchup with Georgia State at the end of the
State
season.
In the year. So, I mean, if they go win the next three games, you aren't going to be able to catch them. It won't matter what happens.
ULM and Louisiana are bottom of the barrel.
Yeah,
and I would know.
So, I mean, it really wouldn't matter if they go out and win the next three games. They are pretty much a lock for the season championship and get that number one seed for the tournament.
Yeah,
so,
they have a 3-game lead over the next team.
Wow.
So,
yeah, wow.
I think it's worth diving into, and we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about it, because we are Troy guys.
We are.
And I have a significant other who is a South Alabama graduate.
You are. I heard you weren't too happy a couple of nights ago.
I was not.
Did she make you do anything, like run around the neighborhood?
She was nice. All she did was post that video to Twitter.
Yeah.
She did leave the cupcake outside the door like I asked.
That's good.
It was a good cupcake.
That's good.
But Troy and South played this week, and I gotta say, I'm upset with the result as a Troy grad, but Troy didn't play terribly. It was more of South Alabama just outperformed. And we were talking about off the mic with this beforehand, but South Alabama was consistent. Troy was consistent. Both of them pretty much staying pretty similar to where they were in each of the categories, field goals, three-pointers, and free throws. But the thing was, in the first half, South Alabama was just so good. Everything was landing. Everything was clicking.
Mm-hmm.
South Alabama had shot 53% from field goal range. That's an 11-point difference over Troy's 42%. South Alabama, 57% beyond the three-point arc. Think about it this way. Every time, it was like they flipped a coin.
Right?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
In the first half. But that means they made it more times than they missed it from the three-point line.
It's impressive.
Troy, from the three-point line in the first half, 26%. That's 1-4.
Mm-hmm.
That's a difference of 29 percent points.
Mm-hmm.
It was not good for Troy in the first half, shooting threes.
Well, I'm just looking. They attempted 36 three-point tries. That's a lot. And I think our buddy Scott kind of alluded to that. There's a reason why they're taking that many shots. And it's because they don't have an inside game. They're really missing.
No, they didn't.
They're really missing Williams in the inside.
But it was very obvious from the way that Troy was handling the ball. There was a lot of passing around the outside. They never tried.
No.
They very rarely tried to get it inside, or even just inside that three-point line when they were passing it around. And mm-hmm. it was it it was mind numbing.
You can live and die by the three. Another one that kind of jumps out, I think you were going to allude to this, is free throw percentage. Are you going to talk about that one?
I mean, it's the same things. South Alabama was 3-for-4 effectively, and Troy was basically 2-for-4 from the free point. But that one point is what's going to make a difference.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to get to that completely. I was going to circle how South basically shot itself in the foot shooting from the three-point arc in the second half. That's how Troy was able to get back. South went 1-for-8 in the second half shooting threes. That's how Troy got back into the ball game.
Wow.
But Troy took advantage of it because they did better in the second half shooting threes than they did in the first.
Yeah, I'm not seeing, to me, I watch a fair amount of college basketball, and the teams that I watch, they get physical. And Troy just, they lack the guy down below that you can throw it into the low post and get, you know, fouls and get into the bonus and help them out. They took 9 free throws for the entire game. 9.
Yeah.
That's it. And they only made 55% of them. They were barely above half for that. They were 5 of 9. That's not enough free throws being taken a game.
No.
You want to be in, like, I mean, where South was at, I mean, the 16 to 20 range. That's where you got to get the ball inside. And I see, like, in there, they just lack size down low right now. They just don't have it.
And it was very evident because the player of the game for me, and this is going to be my Bet on Sports player of the week, right, is Josh Ajayi. With his double-double, 20 points, 10 rebounds.
Solid game.
It is a very solid game.
Solid.
He went 4-for-4 on free throws, which, if you do the math, that means he got 16 points from the paint, from the field. Mm-hmm. Like, Josh was made his impact known throughout the game, and that inside guy is the very thing that Troy lacked to match up against him.
They never led the entire game. Wow.
No, they didn't.
He was your Been on Sports Player of the Week. Mine, he's had a hell of a streak here. There's a couple things I've got to hit on. First of all, his name is Quan Jackson. He's a guard from Georgia Southern University. Okay. His last 4 games, he has scored 20 points in every single game or more in every single game.
In the last how many games?
Last 4 games. 21, 23, 24, 23. That is his last. That is how many points he scored in his last 4 games.
21, 23, 24, 23?
Yes.
That is.
it's
20. 91.
Yeah.
It's 91 points over 4 games.
Yes.
He almost hit 100.
104 games. Yeah. So you talk about he almost hit 104 games. Well, that 100 that he almost hit actually propelled him to get to 1,000 points in his career.
Well done.
Golf clap for this gentleman.
Definitely.
1,000 points in a career is incredible. He's a redshirt junior from Tallahassee, Florida. Went to Godbey High School. I know about Godbey. We used to play him in a couple of sports from Old Cat High. But sophomore season, averaged 14.8 points. Freshman season, averaged 7.4 points. This guy's been on the floor. This is not, I mean, you when you score 1,000 points, you've got to have playing time. He's had a great career there. This year, stats are a little down. He's only averaging 12 points a game. Last year, he at almost 15 points a game, one of the better guards in the league last year. Just this streak that he's on right now. You're talking 4 games, you're going out and getting 20 points. I mean, even the other games, 19, 10, 13. Like, if you go back to the last 6 games, he's hit double figures in the last 6 games. I mean, that's solid. That is what you want out of a guard play. And he's done it against, South Alabama, Georgia State, Troy, South Alabama again, ULM, and Louisiana. So he's cleaning up. He's doing well. Quan Jackson, 6'4 guard. I mean, just really, really good player. Looks the part. Watched a little bit of film on him earlier today. And he can definitely shoot the ball, as evident by the points he scores in the game. So he's our player of the game. Is that it for basketball? That's basically our wrap up.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I mean, we have our players of the game. We're talking
about March Madness here.
We are. But we got some big matchups this week. We just talked about them: Troy and Coastal in the women's, Little Rock and Texas State today in the men's. So go out and watch them. Keep up with them. We'll try to live tweet them. I'm also buying a little time while you get to where you need to be for the next thing. Let's keep going around the belt, and let's talk about a little bit of softball.
Dude, let me tell you something. I know we talked about Louisiana.
We do.
Rightfully so. Top 10 team.
Yeah.
I think they're definitely, we talked 50-game winner probably this year. I would not doubt it. But there's a couple other good teams in this league, and to be honest with you, tonight we're just going to focus on Louisiana, UTA, and Troy. Everyone played over the weekend. Nobody's undefeated still. Everybody has at least one loss. Even Louisiana got knocked off this weekend as well.
Who beat them?
So they played a group of teams. They had, I guess, like a little tournament. Like Troy hosted a little tournament.
Yeah, it's a thing.
Between Ball State, UTSA, North Texas, and UTSA again. So the three teams were Ball State, UTSA, and North Texas.
I bet it was North Texas.
It was North Texas. They last year, I looked at their schedule, they had problems with North Texas last year. Like it was just weird.
Mm-hmm.
3-1, they go 3-2, 8-0-5, 2-1, and 11-1. So just. You 2-1. It's a close game in North Texas.
Yeah.
I don't really know how good North Texas is, but apparently they're good enough to beat the number 8 team in the country. So I'm just looking at the stats. The one team that jumps out to me that isn't named Louisiana, Troy, or UTA is South Alabama.
Okay.
Because South Alabama, I'm pretty sure they won the conference a couple years ago.
They did, yeah.
They are 0-5. And you look at that and you go, 0-5?
Like, yeah.
Oh, man, it's going to be a bad year. Well,
what's happening?
Do not fret South Alabama fans.
That's
what I'm saying to you. South Alabama played two teams from the Big Ten, a team from the SEC, Notre Dame, and Texas State, I'm pretty sure won the championship last year in the Sun Belt. They lost to all of them.
Okay, who were the SEC team?
Missouri.
Missouri, okay.
Two Big Ten teams were Minnesota, who was a national seed last year. They lost to them 10-0. Illinois, they lost 5-4. Notre Dame, they lost 3-1. And Texas State, they lost 5-2.
So this is not the only disrespectful loss there is the Minnesota.
Up. Yeah.
But that's the Minnesota.
Missouri game, they lost 7-5. So they were in every single game. It's just they couldn't get the W at all. And so 0-5, do not fret. And they aren't bad.
The football players have got to be like, we get it.
Yeah.
Welcome
to our life. No, do not fret South Alabama softball fans. Going back to UTA and Troy, let's go to UTA. They're 3-2 after their first weekend. They had a three-game series with a couple people, and then they also played a two-game series. You're going to be shocked by how this happened. They played Texas A&M, a SEC team.
Yeah.
They lose the first game 2-0, and then they go and they beat Texas A&M in 8 innings, 7-2 in 8 innings.
In 8 innings?
Yeah, 7-2. I don't know what happened, but that 8th inning for A&M got out of hand.
Clearly.
And then they go and they win the series against A&M. This is all in College Station, by the way, so they're on the road.
Yeah.
They win the series 5-4. And they turn back around and they lose to Abilene Christian 4-2. And they shut them out 2-0. So I want to know how good Abilene Christian is. The fact that they go in there and beat them 4-2. Now granted, that was the back end of they had a doubleheader. This is on the 8th.
Oh, okay.
So I think something must have happened where maybe they caught UTA with their number 2 or number 3 pitcher. You know, softball. So those
right. And I was gonna say, I bet you that Abilene Christian has got to be their number one.
Probably. So, but in the last game of the weekend, UTA got the win. So, so they're sitting at 3-2, and then Troy, our final team that we're looking at tonight, they're sitting at 3-1. They were supposed to play 5 games. One of them got canceled because of rain.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Fog.
Yeah.
Because you literally couldn't see from center field to home plate. That's how bad the fog was. There's a really cool picture.
It was the Lipscomb game.
It was Lipscomb.
They went out and danced on the turf. Yeah.
There was a whole thing. It was really cool. Really, they played Lipscomb, College of Charleston, and Western Kentucky. Western Kentucky, I will say, and North Florida, excuse me. So they had 4 teams. Western Kentucky is a really good softball school. They've always been really good in the Conference USA. And they were good in the Sun Belt when they were in the Sun Belt as well. They lost to Western Kentucky in 8 innings, and then they had a canceled game, and then they shut out North Florida to end their tournament 3-0. So Troy, they're kind of my dark horse. I really like their coach that they have in there, and they've got two really good pitchers this year as well. And, of course, we highlighted their missing pitchers on the first team All-Sun Belt, specifically Leanna Johnson. We talked about her a little bit last week. So those three teams, Georgia Southern, they went 3-1. Their last game they lost of their tournament.
Who'd they play?
Hartford, East Tennessee State, and Rutgers and Army. And
they Rutgers lost. Is good.
They're, okay.
They're Big Ten. Big Ten.
They beat them 9-1 in five innings.
Okay.
Yeah, not helping.
They're big. Yeah. Okay. I'm done. Sorry.
Rutgers. I tried. Rutgers.
I tried to help you, Eagles fans.
Now, women's basketball, that's a whole different story. Rutgers and women's basketball, pretty solid team. So, but no, everybody else had losses. Georgia State 1-3, Coastal Carolina 1-3. So, yeah, that's softball. Baseball getting kicked up here in a little bit. Other little news, it's not really news. I'm keeping word on it. I'm trying to figure out and see if anything has come of it. But there are some articles that were going around that had Pensacola was attempting to host the Sun Belt men's
basketball. We talked about this a couple weeks ago.
It never made it out of committee in Escambia County. Like the ESCO, Escambia County like Sports Association, had to propose something, and they kept trying. What they were first trying to do was push the deadline to apply to the Sun Belt back, and they got it pushed back to January 31st, and of course that was like about a week and a half ago now. And since then I haven't been able to find any information on it that they've done or submitted anything, so I don't know how far that's gone. The main roadblock that when I did my research about it was they have to be able to host both women's and men's at the same time. So they need another stadium.
Field, yeah.
And the only place, there's UWF, but then the problem is they have their conference stuff going on as well. Like, you've got to figure that out depending on where they host, because the GSC, it rotates, and so you can't
guarantee that.
You can't guarantee that, oh, yeah, we're going to have it every year for 5 years, but then there's a junior college at Pensacola State, but then there's how many people right. can be seated there. So there's some problems there. I know a lot of people were getting excited about that because, I saw probably a dozen to you know, almost 15, maybe even 20 people talking about this on my Facebook, just people in Pensacola talking about it, just because they're like, oh, this would be cool to have a Division I tournament here, which it would. I think they could do one. The biggest roadblock is finding that second venue for them to one of the either the men's or the women's to be playing in.
You know what would be a good city for that?
Who?
Mobile.
It would. You have the Mitchell Center, and yep. you have the Mobile Civic
the
Center.
The Civic Center downtown.
Depending on the Mobile Civic Center, I've heard.
It's not where it used to be, and they used to host the Sun Belt. Like when it rotated,
yeah.
The Civic Center hosted it a couple times.
Yeah.
But I know, yes, the state of it's not that great right now.
Yeah.
They're actually planning on tearing it down to build something new.
Something there.
But I'm going to beat the dead horse real quick. Mm-hmm. Missed opportunities with Mobile.
Oh, real? When it comes to sports, huge missed opportunities for Mobile. So, but that's the big roadblock. I know a lot of people were kind of talking about Pensacola maybe getting it. It would be cool. There's Huntsville was in there. There's another place in Mississippi, and then there's a place out in Texas. I think it was Beaumont, Texas. That would really suck. I mean, with the exception of the two Texas teams, but all those teams. Yeah, I know Pensacola isn't close to Texas or anything, but
at least it's centrally located.
Kind of more centrally located, I feel like, between, you know, when you look at the, you know, longitude style. So, that was kind of the only other, like, interesting story around the Sun Belt that I saw that had anything to do with golf. Got kicked off today. We had a couple of tournaments go on. I think we're going to wait on golf for a couple of weeks just because we need to get a little feel for what teams are really competing. But there's some big tournaments. Golf Week Challenge is always a big one. We'll talk about that. There's, I think, three teams that are participating in that tournament from the Sun Belt that I was looking at earlier today. So, but other than that, that is your Around the Belt. Wait.
We got some spring football housekeeping to do.
Oh, don't
literally we. Just announced this past Tuesday.
Oh, big announcement for South Alabama.
South Alabama. Speaking of missed opportunities, we could talk about Ladd for ages. We've done plenty of episodes about that. But the big deal out of this spring game announcement is that it will be played on South Alabama's campus. South Alabama's spring game, for the first time ever, is not being played at Ladd Stadium.
Wow.
It is being played at the Yance practice fields.
Is that the covered?
No, is not the covered. There are practice fields. It is a there are fields behind the practice facility.
Well,
they're not playing it in. It would be really cool if it was indoors, but it's going to be back behind it because they have a full football field back behind it. Okay. So it is still on the facility.
Step number
it is
one.
On campus. Baby steps.
I mean, let me clarify. They took step number one by building their own stadium.
Yeah.
This is the we're gone step. Like, we ain't coming back.
This is posting this hashtag single life Instagram post. Yeah. And leaving Ladd out in the cold on red.
Yeah.
So
it's a big announcement for South Alabama, because I know a lot of people, they really wanted to get that spring game, but they break ground on that thing like a year ago, basically now. Like, I mean,
something like that.
Done pretty well for how far
they've
gone.
And it will be open by September 12th for Grambling.
I know Joel Orman, another guest of the show, is super excited to just. They need life. This program needs some life. And whether it's a coaching staff, which a lot of former players think that that's what it needs, but it needs some excitement, and I think just fresh. This is where they need to go.
I agree with you, but I think that's a conversation
that's
for
a
another
whole
day.
Episode.
In the meantime, if you'd like to ask our opinions on it or hear any of our other opinions, you can find us on Twitter at the OG Bench Boys. We're on Facebook. That's where you can find the Robert Hunt video from 2 years ago from Media Days. I'm Thomas.
I'm Colin.
We're the Bench Boys. Hit that subscribe button. We're everywhere podcasts are found. And that is Around the Belt.
That's Around the Belt, and just make sure you just come on back.